welcome to episode 15 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up on this show, pinup model Roxy Tark will join me as she tells us a little bit about an event that she was a part of that was held at Disneyland this past year. And of course, we discuss which Disney villains are her role models. Before we hop over to that, I need to tell you guys about something that's pretty exciting that just launched. It's just hot off the press, and you can get involved. Filmmaker Philip Swift, the director of The Bubble, a documentary about the town of Celebration, Florida, who was on our show previously, he's got a new documentary he's working on, and he has just launched a Kickstarter to get it funded. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you, you're probably going to want to contribute to this one. This documentary is a film adaptation of the best-selling travel guide. I said guide like I wasn't sure I was going to say it. The best-selling travel guide, The Dark Side of Disney. Now, I'm definitely going to have Philip back on so we can talk more about this project. But check the show notes for a link to the Kickstarter. You can watch the video there and get a more of a feel of what's going on there, because this is going to be good. This is going to be epic. You're definitely going to want to contribute to this. And depending on when you're listening to this, but this upcoming Tuesday, April 22nd, Philip, along with the author of Dark Side of Disney, Leonard Kinsey, will be hosting an event at Atomic Books in Baltimore, Maryland. Almost said New Jersey. I'm so used to saying New Jersey because that's where I live. There will be a screening of The Bubble, and Leonard will be debuting his new book, doing a reading and signing copies. And if you can get there, I would suggest doing it. I believe it starts at 7 p.m. and I will be there. So if there's any reason for you to go, it's because I'm going to be there. So all links to all this information on the show notes. Check it out. All this stuff is coming. It's going to be so awesome. Well, without any further ado, let's get to my conversation with Roxy Tark. Okay, I am joined by Miss Roxy Tark. Hello, Roxy.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. It is a very nice evening here in California.
Excellent. It is a very bitterly cold evening in New Jersey. So, Roxy, when people ask you what it is that you do, what do you say? How do you phrase it?
The easiest way to phrase what I do is that I'm a pinup model. I do photos, pinup style from the 1950s and mid-century, and then I also do a lot of alt stuff, but I also run the world's largest pinup website. So I run a huge community of pinup models and fans and photographers, but the easiest all-around way to put it is that I'm a pinup model.
Wow. What's that site?
It is pinuplifestyle.com.
And you run that. Wow, that seems like quite an undertaking.
It is. It is definitely a full-time job. We've let it kind of quiet down a little bit lately because we're about to do a huge relaunch. So we've let it kind of coast and whatnot, but we still get about 10 to 20 new members a day. We have over 17,000 members. And it's just a community where people can come and hang out and talk and, you know, meet other people in their area.
Oh, that's great.
It is. And a lot of it's like a family. We have people, I have a goddaughter and her parents I met through the site. We, you know, people make friends and go to each other's weddings and birthday parties and all kinds of stuff. So it's a great site.
Wow, it sounds like I should sign up and meet some people.
You definitely should sign up.
That's right. I thought it was just for pinups, but you're saying it's for fans of pinups as well.
Absolutely. It's for anyone that loves the pinup scene and the pinup look. Anyone.
Excellent. Well, I fall into that category, so that's great. So, but you're also here because you are a huge Disney fan.
I am. I am an absolute Disney nerd. Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning here. How did you get into Disney?
Well, like most kids who live in California, my parents took me when I was little. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there was a time when I was a teenager where it was like, yeah, I love Disney movies and I love the princesses, but I wasn't like a huge fan. And then when I kind of grew out of my rebellious teenage phase, of being, you know, very unconventional. I started going back when I got my own car. You know, it was one of the first road trips I took when I got my license in my own car was to go down to Disneyland. And I've been going ever since. I've had a season pass for the last decade or ish. I've had an annual pass every year.
Wow, and, nice.
Yeah, I love it. We try to get down there 6 to 8 times a year.
So you're 6 hours away. That's what you're telling me, right?
Yeah. In no traffic, we are 6 hours away. So with L.A. traffic, when we get down there, we're like 9 hours away.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. If we leave in the middle of the night and hit no traffic, we can make there in 6 hours. If we get down there during rush hour in the afternoon, it can take 3-4 hours to get from the Grapevine to Disneyland. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, you really got to pick your times driving through Southern California, I guess. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, by the time you get there, you're hot, you're sweating, you're aggro.
Right.
Like, you really need that dose of Disney magic.
So you go pretty often. So you...
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of things there. What would you say is your favorite thing to do in the parks?
My favorite thing is to tour the graveyards.
The graveyards? How many graveyards are there?
We found out years ago that there were numerous graveyards throughout Disneyland. And so my friends and I decided that we were going to find them all. And obviously, you know, there's the one in front of the Haunted Mansion. That's the easiest one.
Right.
But people don't know that there's a pet cemetery behind the Haunted Mansion.
I have heard that one. I knew that one.
Yep. And you can go and look at it, and you can take pictures there. And then, like on the storybook ride in the Alice in Wonderland, it's the Alice little town. There's a church, and there's a little graveyard next to the church.
Okay.
And so it's one of those, it's like finding hidden Mickeys, you know, which is another one of my favorite things to do is find new hidden Mickeys.
I feel like those,
it's just one of those things.
I feel like the hidden Mickeys got a little out of control. I feel like people are really forcing them when they're not really hidden Mickeys.
There are definitely some that are not so hidden anymore. It was like once the word got out, the Imagineers were like, okay, let's do this.
Right.
But there are some that are still my favorites. The one at and now I am going to completely blank. The one at the Plaza restaurant where Minnie's character breakfast is, in the railing, on the roof is probably my favorite because you have to stand in a specific spot in the restaurant and look out a certain door to see this row of hidden Mickeys.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's really neat. It's the scalloping on the edge of the roof. You know, it looks totally normal, but if you stand in this one spot, you know, and you look where the door cuts it off, they all become hidden Mickeys.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and like I love those ones. You know, those are the ones that are just really cool to find.
Well, I've never heard of that one before, so you're obviously deep in the game, tracking them down.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I said that my goal was to put out a coffee table book of, like, high-res photos of hidden Mickeys. So we went on a serious hunt. And then they put out a book that, like, a guide to hidden Mickeys. And you could just buy this book at Disneyland and walk around. And I was like, well, that's not fair. Like, you took all the fun out of it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's a lot of unofficial books, but that, you know, I figured, you know, that'd be hard to compete against an official Hidden Mickey book.
It kind of took all the fun out of it, so I stopped hunting for new Hidden Mickeys, and now if I find them, I'm happy, and if not, No big deal.
What other graveyards are there besides those two that you mentioned?
Well, you know what? And as soon as I started talking about it, I was like, I could tell all of them, but then it ruins it for anyone that's listening to this.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell all of them. I think that people that like the darker side of Disney should do some research and hunt them down. It took us quite a few trips to, like, find them all. And I'll admit, we had to ask some cast members, you know. But there are six total.
All right, you gave us a number. All right, we got an official number, 6 graveyards. Track them down. Email in and let us know if you find them. So, you've done a lot of pinup work, obviously. Have you done any Disney-themed photo shoots?
I have. I did a Snow White shoot. Which was a lot of fun. I did kind of a sexy Snow White shoot, and I did a Minnie Mouse shoot that was used last year for the pre-show flyer for Rock Around the Park, which is a yearly event. It's Rockabilly Psychabilly Day in Disneyland.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about that. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into that in a moment.
Cool. I've done those two, and I have a few others that are planned and in the works. I have one that's coming up, and I'm not going to tell who the characters are, but I'm going to do a princess and villain where I play both and I'm in the same photo.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm excited. It'll be a lot of fun.
I might have to ask you off the show what it is, because I'm really curious.
Well, we've been going back and forth. It's really difficult because... I wanted to do Cinderella because I adore Cinderella and I love her dress, you know, and I thought it could be really, really pretty. But Lady Tremaine isn't really a fun villain to do, you know, her costume's not fun and whatnot. Right. And then on the other hand, I desperately want to do Ursula, but I'm not really the mermaid type. So.
The mermaid type.
And actually, I have a different Ursula shoot planned, so then I couldn't do that one. I wanted to do the Evil Queen, but I've already done Snow White.
So who's left there? What?
It's been difficult to really, like, you know, do it. Yeah, and like some of them, like Belle would be a lot of fun, but you know, I'm not going to be Gaston. Like, that's just a little too weird.
I have seen some female Gaston cosplay pics out there, so it did.
I have too. I've seen a couple of really good ones, but I was actually thinking about maybe doing, and it is a kind of a cross-dressing one, but my top choice right now is actually to do Tiana and Dr. Facilier.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think that'd be a lot of fun, and I love New Orleans. I love voodoo. I love all of that, so...
That's great. Now, I've yet to see a sexy Dr. Facilier out there. So I think you'd be the first.
I hope so. And it'll also be sparkly, because everything I do is glittery and sparkly. And so.
Well, I hope it's dark sparkly, at least.
It will be.
All right.
I promise. I promise it'll be dark sparkly. But
all right. Then it's all right.
Yeah.
Cool. So you talked a little bit about this, but tell me a little more about Rock Around the Park and your involvement in it.
Well, Rock Around the Park is, like I said, it's the Rockabilly Psychabilly Day at Disneyland. It happens every November. And I was hanging out in Disneyland one day, and someone walked up to me and handed me a flyer and was like, hey, we're holding this new event. It's never happened before. We'd really like you to come. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, it sounds great. You know, I'd love to. Yay, go Rockabilly. So I've gone every year now, and every year it's an absolute blast. And they do a pre-show the night before. They call it a sock hop, but it's like a burlesque show, and there's bands, and it's a lot of fun. In the last 2 years, I've hosted the pre-show.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and the people that run it are great people. Shane, the guy that came up with it, is a really cool guy, and he's super nice, and so it's a really good event to go to.
That sounds pretty cool. When I first read about it, it kind of reminded me of there was never any kind of like big gathering days in my youth at Disneyland. In my youth, I know I sound so old, but I was a teenager like in the 90s. So, back in my day, we didn't have any gatherings. You just stumbled across people and you were happy to do it. When I was going to Disneyland as a teenager, unlike you, I wasn't rebelling against Disneyland. That was probably the time I went the most in my whole life, because I don't know, it just seemed like that's what we should be doing.
You were in SoCal. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is before, you know, everyone had the internet, and, you know, we weren't really, you really meet people that weren't in your town when I was a teenager, you know, it was like.
Totally.
So when you go to Disneyland, it's like, this is kind of like a chance where you possibly could meet people that, you know, like the same bands that you liked or whatever, you know, so it was like really mm-hmm. important to wear like your favorite band t-shirt and like, you know, like dress like to the nines. I mean, I that doesn't mean that much for me, but some of my friends really went overboard. You know, I've pretty much been a skater style in my clothing ever since I was 15, but you know, I'd be sure to wear my new sneakers and, you know, my favorite shirt.
I will admit we do dress to the nines when we go.
Mm-hmm.
But so, okay, you just said it was the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember in the 90s there was a group of teenagers that would every Friday night they would show up at Disneyland and play Vampire the Masquerade?
No. Didn't come across.
Really?
That. No.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I was a LARPer when I was a teenager.
Excellent.
And we played, we had a group, we played Vampire the Masquerade as a LARP, and we found out that there was this group that would go to Disneyland every week and play. So every time I went, you know, when I got older and I got my car and whatnot, mm-hmm. I'd keep an eye out for these people. And if I saw them, I would walk up to them and strike up a conversation and whatnot. Because like you said, you know, we didn't have Facebook and stuff like that. So when you saw someone that you had something in common with, you know,
yeah,
you hope that you could be friends.
right. You know, not everyone's friendly, but, you know, it's, you know, usually it's like, oh, cool, I like that band. You know, and that's always the intro that you want. And to be really honest, I think we were looking for girls. I don't know if we were looking for friends.
Yeah. I've always been a really outgoing person, and my my friends actually joke that I have this neon sign above my head that people can see that says "Talk to me," because no matter where we go or what we're doing, strangers will just walk up to me and start a conversation.
Wow.
And in Disneyland, people walk up to me and ask if they can take their picture with me, or if their daughter can take a picture with me, or, you know.
Really? Wow.
Stuff like that.
Have you ever gotten any kind of trouble from the security or something? Because usually they don't like that in the parks.
Nope, I've never done it dressed as a character. Well, okay, that's not true at all. I did in Disney World, and I could have gotten in trouble, but that's a whole other story.
Well, what's that story? Okay. Why are you brushing over that story?
When we go, you know, we love the 50s, and so when we go, we dress, you know, like Disneyland used to be a special occasion, and we still think that it should be. I wear dresses and gloves and hats to the park, you know, my pearls. Mm-hmm. That's how we go, and people aren't used to that, so they always want to stop and, you know, take a picture, and the little girls think I'm a princess, and But no, you want to hear my character story in Disney World?
Yes, please.
Okay, it was Halloween, and I went as Snow White, and it was the same sexy Snow White costume that I used in my photo shoot. It wasn't sexy enough that you shouldn't be wearing it to Disneyland, mm-hmm. But it wasn't the traditional, you know, Snow White costume, and I had tights on, and so it was okay. But it rained. It started to rain, and so we're at the Halloween party, and it started to rain because, you know, it's Florida.
Right. Rains like every day at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, right? So all the characters went back inside, and there were no characters out taking pictures. And a friend of mine, we walked into the bathroom. We walked past this little family into the bathroom, and when we came out, this little girl is just staring at me. And I smiled and I waved, and she goes, Daddy, Snow White waves at me. and I was like, oh, you know, that's so cute. And he came over and he was like, I hope you don't mind. She was really looking forward to seeing Snow White, and she thinks that you're her. So, you know, please, you know, don't pay her any mind. You know, and I was like, she was. And he goes, yeah, we were in line, and it started to rain, and Snow White had to go back. And so I just put on my Disney smile and walked over and knelt down and, hello, princess.
Oh.
You know, her eyes got all big, and I was like, I heard that you wanted to meet me and my dwarves, and unfortunately, they had to go in because of the rain, but I came out just to see you.
Wow.
You know, and she gave me a huge hug, and she asked to take a picture, and so I did, you know, and I did the whole thing, and then, you know, I gave her a hug and told her that I had to go and get back to the dwarves because I had cleaning to do. And you know, but it was one of those things where that's a Disney rule, you know, and I am very big on following Disneyland's rules. You are not allowed to do that. But this little girl just looked so, she went from heartbroken to so happy. And I was like, it's worth it to break this one rule for this little girl, you know?
Right. Well, you handled it properly. I think they're worried about people misrepresenting the characters, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would never, you know, I love Disney too much to disrespect any of their rules or, you know, any of their characters or anything, but.
And plus, you did a pretty good impersonation of her. Is that another one of your skills? Do you do like voice acting?
No, and that one voice is all of my princesses.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter which princess I'm pretending to be. I only have one princess.
Okay. It sounded a lot like Snow White. I will say that. So. Might be a little strange with some of the other ones, but that's right. But that's cool. So, Rock Around the Park this past year, what were some highlights of the event for you?
Well, the group photo in front of the castle is always a highlight because you really, for like an hour beforehand, everybody starts to congregate and you really get a chance to meet people and stop and say hi and see everybody's outfit. And then, you know, we all pose in front of the castle and we have an official photographer who stands across the street. But the crowd that it draws, you know, all these tourists and all these people that are just at Disneyland want to stand there and take pictures of all of us and whatnot. So that's always a lot of fun.
How does that work? Like, do you have to like coordinate that with like the staff or something to have that many people taking a picture, or you just do it?
Yeah. No, we plan the time you know, it says on our flyer what time we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And a little while before it starts, you know, we let the photo pass people that are standing there know. And the photo pass people are always really cool about it. They're always willing to, you know, take people's cards and take photos for them and that kind of stuff. And to help organize the group and help get everyone together and with crowd control. But once we start filling in and mingling, you know, you're talking about like 1,000 people.
Wow.
So the other people at the park tend to move out of the way once they realize, you know, that there's something happening. There is an event going on.
Right, right.
And the photo itself, you know, it only takes about 5 minutes for everybody to get in place and smile. And then the picture gets taken. They do it panoramic style. And then that's it. We're done.
That's crazy. I always wonder when they have these kind of events, like how involved, like, do you have to like let Disney know that you're coming or so, I don't know.
No, it depends on how big your event is. There's a lot of smaller ones that they don't, because, you know, they're maybe going to get 50 people or, you know, maybe 100 people. So it doesn't impact the park that much, but the bigger ones, Bats Day, Dapper Day, Rock Around the Park, they'll call Disney, you know, they'll call park services and they'll let them know, you know, we have this on this day. This is our schedule, just to let you know, this is where we'll be. So it's more of a courtesy thing, you know, than anything else.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I guess big groups gather at the parks all the time. I guess it's just par for the course for them. But I just, it just seemed like, especially when I saw the group photo, I was like, wow, like, you're literally in front of the castle. I'm like it's shut down. Like, no one's getting through there, you know? Like.
And it's funny because there's still space on the side, you know? And so people will, of course, keep walking, you know, but you can't see anyone that's not us, because mm-hmm. there are so many of us, we block out the other people. What's really funny is those people that are not paying attention, and they'll walk in the street in front of this huge group and get halfway and then stop and look and realize there's 1,000 people staring at them. You know? it's a little unnerving. I have to imagine that, you know, you're pushing your stroller and all of a sudden you realize that there are a bunch of rockabillies staring at you because you're in the middle of their photo.
Right. And especially, they probably have no context of why all these people are dressed this way and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Just like,
no, not a clue. You know, they don't have a clue that there's, you know, people gathering for a photo. They certainly don't know what else is going on around.
Right, right. I'm sure that was creepy for them, so that moment.
Right.
All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit here, and I have a question I want to pose to you.
Okay.
And I want to know, which Disney villains are your role models and why? And I said villains because I have a hankering, it's more than one.
It is. I have two favorite villains, and it's the Evil Queen and Ursula.
Okay.
Well, and both of them are my favorites basically for the same reason, because they are the most vain and beauty obsessed of all of the villains. That's their thing. Mm-hmm. You know? And if I was a witch and had magic powers, I would use that to make myself young all the time and beautiful. So I kind of see where they're coming from. You know, and they're powerful. I love magic, and I love the idea of witchcraft and whatnot, and I love their brand of magic. You know, the Evil Queen's secret lair with the cauldron and,
right,
like, her, you know, her dungeon, and I love that kind of stuff. But, I don't know, they're the ones that I associate with the most, because they're the most vain. They have the biggest egos.
True, true. I guess.
And I really feel that the Evil Queen's kind of gypped because she doesn't get her own song. You know, I don't think that's fair at all. I think she needs a little more character development. She should definitely get her own villain song. But, you know, it's cool. Walt knows best. So I'm good with it.
Oh, yeah. That does not excuse the plot holes in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
No, and there's many of them. I actually, I don't like Snow White. I'm not a Snow White fan.
You dressed up as her.
I know. I did. I dressed up as her, but I'm not a Snow White fan. The Littlest Princess is not my favorite princess, and I don't really like the movie. You know, I won't just sit down and watch it because I'm bored. But I love The Evil Queen, which is one of the main reasons I started watching Once Upon a Time, because I had read how amazing The Evil Queen was going to be in the show.
Okay, yeah. You know, so. I've only watched a few episodes of that. And it's weird to me because it's like... I just don't know why they just didn't make it Disney. I'm just like it's like sort of Disney. It's like you.
It's yeah,
like,
it's a little. They, you know.
Why didn't
they
just
pull from it? And it is ABC, so technically it is Disney.
That's my whole point. Is that Disney owns it? It literally could be
they
the
own
Disney
it.
Characters.
They could have. Yep.
Like it, you know, like it literally could be that.
Yep.
So that.
There are definitely, you know, you want to talk about holes in plots. Like, that show really pushes it to, you know, for the suspension of disbelief. But
okay.
Regina, the Evil Queen, does not disappoint. She's amazing, and her outfits are amazing, and her hair is amazing, and I adore her.
Yeah, I've watched a few episodes, and I feel like I'm so far behind of, like, ever catching up that I haven't even jumped back in.
No, yeah, you'd have to jump on Netflix and just start at the beginning.
I felt like, that's why I was watching on Netflix, and I felt like it was, like, a mystery I needed to unsolve, and I needed to, like, pay way too close attention. I don't know, I haven't gone back to it. I didn't hate it by any means, but it was this... It's like, what is going on here? Obviously, I know it's extremely popular and they started another show, too, and there's no end in sight for it. I just don't know if it's for me. I don't know.
Totally. And I've had conversations with other people where we joke that it's not a show for people that... First, it's not a show for dumb people. We'll just put that right out there. I'm sorry if I offend anyone. But it's not a show for dumb people because it flashes back so often, it flashes back and forth into different times at different places, and so often you have to be sharp.
Right,
you
gotta stay on it.
Yep. You also really need a good understanding of fairy tales and, you know, the world that they're set in and whatnot, so that you can not only recognize what they're talking about, but when they change things, you know that they've changed it, and, you know, it's not to give away any spoilers and everyone listening, I'm so, so sorry, but, you know, four seasons ago, you know, they took Rumpelstiltskin and they made Rumpelstiltskin the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, which was really cool that they fused those two storylines together. And then later on, he was also the crocodile, you know, that Hook was against. And it was just the way that they take these stories and they put them all together. If you know your fairy tale lore, it's really cool to see this new ideas and new aspects of it and whatnot.
All right, well, maybe I'll give it a shot over the summer.
You just got to go into it with a really open mind. And when you get to the current season in Neverland, if you're a Peter Pan fan, if you're a Neverland fan, I suggest you skip it.
Skip it. Wow. I thought you were going to say you're going to love this. But you're like,
no. I was so excited. The end of the season, we knew we were going to Neverland, and I am a huge Peter Pan fan. I have a Tinkerbell tattoo. I love the whole Neverland, all of it. And I was so excited that we were going to come back to the new season. It was going to be in Neverland and Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. And I was so disappointed with the whole thing. It was sad.
Oh. Well, let's stop talking about sad things. See, we don't let's move on from this.
I promise I'm not that sad. I'm okay. I'm recovering. I've been to therapy.
Okay, you're working
through it.
I've
talked to people. I'm doing okay now.
All right, you're working through it. Very good. So before we leave the villains topic, is there any other villains that you might want to talk about that you have some
well
towards?
Like I said earlier, I love Dr. Facilier. He's probably my favorite male villain. Because I love, like I said, I love voodoo. I love the whole New Orleans culture. It's probably my favorite place on earth that I've been. And so I was really excited for The Princess and the Frog. And I like him, and I like his creepy little voodoo dolls. And you know,
yeah, I like his shadow monsters, too. Those were pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I love that he's creepy. You know, I love that they gave him, they made him a little bit scary. They weren't afraid to go a little over the top and make him scary. Like in Hunchback, you know, Frollo's song with the fire, you know, and all of that, parents complained that it was too scary for their kids. And so, you know, they don't do a lot of stuff like that. And I was really happy with Dr. Facilier that they took it that little bit extra far and gave it that creep factor.
Yeah. It's unfortunately, it seems when they do that, that it's not too well received by the masses, so they shy away from it. But you know, it's great stuff. it's stuff that
yep.
we grew up on in Disney films, so we're kind of accustomed to it and expect it and demand it.
You know? Yeah, we're the generation that had Fantasia and the Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
You know, like we're okay with this kind of stuff, but there's so many people out there that are just like, no, this is going to scar my child for life. And it's like, it's really not. Just chill. Relax.
No, it's not. But, you know.
No, it's really not.
That's
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a website. I don't know the actual website. A friend of mine has a son, and the little boy's mom was on this website, and it's a parenting site, and they happen to talk about Disney movies, and they give Disney movies a rating of whether or not your children can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided that her son was not allowed to watch Toy Story because the moms on this site said that Sid was too scary and was a bad influence, and children should not be allowed to watch Toy Story.
Wow.
I mean, I've heard some ridiculous stuff, but this was just unbelievable.
This is, if they think that they could shelter their children from kids like Sid just by making them watch a movie, I mean, what are you going to, like, not let them go, like, to school?
Yeah. No, it was crazy. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, these are the same moms that, you know, think that you can't watch Peter Pan because there's, you know, magic and that would be witchcraft and blah, 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 you know.
Well,
like,
all right. Well, then they're obviously often, you know, La La Land. I can't think of another phrase to say it, but,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When people start saying stuff like that, their opinion automatically becomes invalid to me.
Absolutely. It's one of those things you look at and you're like, I am judging you so hard right now.
Yeah. Exactly. And one of the things I was going to say before was that's kind of the culture clash that even this show is all about, you know, because when most people think of Disney, they don't think of the dark, creepy, scary stuff. They think of the extreme opposite. And, you know, this show really separates, you know, the people that don't like that stuff and the people that do. You know, there's not really an in-between crowd, you know, like...
No, not really. Yeah, I love the creepy stuff. I love all that, the darker stuff. And I love that it comes from a company, you know, who's known for cartoons and princesses and whatnot. I have a son, he's autistic. And so Disneyland is a little bit much for him, but we try every couple of years to take him and see how he does. And we took him in October and we were on the Little Mermaid ride and it got dark. He's afraid of the dark, and it got dark when you go into the part where Ursula is. And I was like, look, sweetheart, look at the, you know, look at the colors and look at the top. Cause you go through kind of a rib cage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we came around the color and he goes, oh, mommy, it's Ursula.
No.
And I'm like, yes, because Ursula is a villain. And I said, yes, that's right. She is. And do we like Ursula? And he goes, oh, Ursula's like mommy.
Oh. That's
heartwarming. And I was like, is mommy a villain? It was so cute. He goes, is mommy a, I said, is mommy a villain? He goes, oh, yes. And I was like, well, are villains bad? And he goes, oh, no, villains are pretty.
Wow, you raised your son right. That is beautiful.
I was just like, I don't know where he got all this from. You know, because we don't know a lot of the time what he takes in and what he understands of what we say and stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one of those moments where I was like, you are so my son. You are just perfect.
That is the most touching moment ever on the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
It was awesome.
Wonderful. So.
And, you know, there are times when he thinks I'm a princess, too. I have a blue sparkly dress, and every time I wear it, he calls me Cinderella.
Very nice.
You know, he thinks mommy's a Disney character.
I'd imagine he sees you kind of dressed over the top pretty regularly. That's kind of normal to him at this point, I would guess, right?
It is. It totally is. He doesn't think anything of, you know, my crazy changing hair colors or coming in with a lot of makeup. I did a zombie shoot once, and I picked him up from his dad's, and I was just covered in blood. And he's like, oh, no, mommy has an owie. And I was like, no, it's okay. Mommy doesn't have an owie. Mommy's okay. It's fake. Mommy's a zombie. And he puts up his arms and starts doing a zombie walk. And he goes, zombie. I was like, yeah, everything's okay. And he goes, it's okay, mommy. Your owie will be all better.
Oh.
I'm like, okay.
That's cute stuff.
Yeah, he's used to crazy stuff going on and happening.
Right on, right on. So, what do you got coming up next? Like, what kind of projects are on your horizon?
My next big event is Viva Las Vegas.
Okay.
In Las Vegas, Easter weekend. It's the world's largest rockabilly event, and it's at the Orleans. And people come from all over the world. We go every year. It's an amazing time. It's so much fun. And it kind of starts what we call our season.
Okay.
Because after that, pretty much every month somewhere, you know, there's car shows and concerts and whatnot until Rock Around the Park, which is the last event of the season. And then basically we all take the winter off. But that's our big one is Viva Las Vegas. And, so the next few weeks are kind of a panic of wardrobe and accessories and everybody getting ready.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's that time where you know you're going to go and you're going to see people that you see every year, but you only see them once a year. You know, you get to reconnect right. with old friends and friends from around the world. And with Pinup Lifestyle, our site is worldwide. So there's a lot of people that we know through the site that, you know, you only see them once a year at Viva or you meet them for the first time at Viva. So it's a great event. It's a lot of fun. And that's my next big thing. And then my next big at-home project is the relaunch of Pinup Lifestyle and giving it its new makeover and its new everything.
Right. So if people want to get in touch with you and check out all these sites, how do they do it?
Well, you can find me on pinuplifestyle.com. I'm really easy to find because I'm always on. And my website is roxy-tart.com. Or I'm on Instagram and Twitter, roxy_tart. Or Facebook. Facebook.com/TheFabulousRoxyTart. You name the social network, and I have it.
Okay. Friendster. What's your Friendster ID?
I don't have a Friendster.
Is that even up anymore?
I have no idea. And I don't use Snapchat anymore. I have one, but I never check it. And there was another one. Oh, Feed. I had Feed, but I don't really use that anymore.
I don't know that one.
I'm really big on social networks. I love my social networks. And I love connecting to people. I love getting messages from fans, and especially from girls who want to get into pinup and you want advice on getting started. And, like, it's the highlight of my day is connecting with other people. So.
All right. Well, I know I think I'm friends with you on almost all of those places. So.
Yay. Okay. Yeah, but the easiest way is to go to my website, roxy-tart.com, and there are two sections of it. One is Roxy's World, and it's where all of my photos and my social networking info and stuff is. And then the other side is the Pinup 101 section, and it's got all kinds of articles up about how to get into pinup, what the world of pinup is like, how to get into modeling, all that kind of stuff.
Wow, it's like a one-stop pinup resource there. It's pretty, I checked it out. It's pretty intense. It's pretty awesome.
I've been called the Oprah of pinup. I've been called the RuPaul of pinup. That was my favorite one.
Nice.
The Tyra Banks. I've been called the Tyra Banks of the pinup world. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I get messages all the time from girls who want to get into it, and, you know, I just kind of steer them in the right path.
Oh, there you're like, here it is. It's like, you got tired of typing the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, I just built the website, and I was like, yes, you can go to my website and read all of this, and then come back and ask your questions.
Oh, great. When's the next time you're going to be going to Disneyland?
We went in January, and we're doing something very strange and not going again until the end of May.
Wow.
Which is a little odd. Yeah, it's a huge break. And normally we don't go during the summer anymore because it's just so crowded and so hot. You know, normally we'll go in the beginning of the year and the end of the year, but for some reason we take in these few months off. But we're going the end of May, beginning of June, with a bunch of friends, and it'll be the first time that we debut our social club.
You're getting in the social club game.
Yes, it looks like too much fun, and every social club that I've met has been so nice. And so a bunch of friends of mine were sitting here talking about it. We had a party and we're like, we should start our own. So we did, and we started the Pinup Pixies.
Oh, very nice. I was gonna ask you what the name was.
Yep.
Do you have your patches all ready to go?
We have the most amazing artist, Miss Cherry Martini, designing our logo.
Wow, I've seen a lot of her artwork, actually. It's pretty
Yeah,
awesome.
And she's amazing. I love her. She just did one of me not too long ago. She did a little Roxy Tart. And we talked, you know, kind of regularly on Facebook because she was doing my logo and whatnot. And I was like, hey, you know, we have this idea. We have the social club, and I was wondering if you'd like to do it. And she said yes, and so we're going to have the most amazing logo. I'm super excited.
Wow. I'm excited, too. So I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we decided that we wanted to do kind of two separate ones that were part of the same. So we have the Pinup Pixies for the girls and Hooks Hooligans for the boys, and together we're the Bangarang Bunch.
Okay, because I was gonna say, I mean, I don't even know if I could, I don't know if I could really pull off being a pinup pixie or
no, the guys were like, we're not gonna be pinup pixies, so we kind of did the whole, you know, bangarang thing as an overall, and then we have the pinup pixies and Hooks Hooligans, and so, but yeah, the guys were not down with being pixies, and we were okay with that. Like, we'll let.
All right. Well, everyone that's in Disneyland, look out for Roxy Tart. You, as you said, you probably can't miss her.
So. No, you can't. And if you see me in the park, please come up and say hello. Because, like I said, I love connecting with people. I love meeting people. And I hate it when I get messages that say, I saw you at Disneyland but was afraid to come up and say hi to you. That is so silly. If you see me and you recognize me, come up to me and say hi. I love meeting people.
That's awesome. Especially if you're listening to this show and you haven't heard her before, definitely go up and say, I heard you on Creepy Kingdom. So
yes, absolutely.
And I'm interested to hear how many people come up to you and say that. So you have to tell me when that happens.
I'll let you know. Yeah. You know what? We'll take pictures and tag you in them for sure.
That'd be amazing. So you know your jobs, listeners that frequent Disneyland. You know what you got to
right.
do. Find Roxy
Tartan
May.
Find me. Find me so we can take pictures and post them on Instagram.
Tag them on up.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a blast this past hour. I'm kind of sorry that it's ending.
Well, you are always welcome to come back.
Yay!
So, you know, don't worry. The magic doesn't have to end.
You like me? Yay! No, absolutely. Anytime. I would be more than happy to do this again. I had so much fun.
Alrighty, thanks to Miss Roxy Tart for coming on the show and chatting it up with me for your entertainment. Be sure to check out roxy-tart.com and, of course, her other website, pinuplifestyle.com. And if you want more information about the Rock Around the Park event, visit rockaroundthepark.com. Our next episode, I will be joined by Noah Kay from the Bats Day event, which was briefly mentioned during this interview with Roxy. So we're going to dive a little deeper into that event in our next episode. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, complaints, corrections, email me, creepykingdom@gmail.com. For show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, Pinterest. That was all in breath. Go to creepykingdom.com. We're in the iTunes store. Search for us. Subscribe there. Leave us a review. Write one up. Let me know what you think. Click that old 5-star button. Why not? And of course, we're available on the Stitcher app for your smartphone that streams podcasts directly to your smart telephone or your smart tablet or your smart car, because Stitcher's in cars. Stitcher's is everywhere. So that's where we are. Get Stitcher. Listen to us wherever you are. Make it happen. Right on. Last but not least, I do want to inform you of the first contribution I have to OutsideTheMagic.com has gone live. I went to the Asbury Park Comic Con and they had a cosplay contest. I took lots of pictures and put together a little video. So it's not creepy Disney related. It's slightly Disney related, as you'll see. But, you know, I just check it out. Because it was awesome. Well, until next time,
keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.